You can turn in your Bible tonight to, or this afternoon, here, to Ephesians chapter 4. Last weekend we had such a wonderful time in God's Word. And you ready to hear a little bit more of God's Word? Because, you know, a week goes by and you got to get tanked up again. What I want to talk about today is kind of a continuation of what Ken Patty was teaching last weekend about living in the realm of the miraculous. And in Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 4, let's read verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. The subject that he was teaching last week was about living in the realm of the miraculous. And so walking worthy just means walking in balance. Here's our walk, and here's the calling. So we need to keep them in balance like a scale. We can't be too far on the practical side, then it goes up. Too far on the doctrinal side, it goes the other way. But you could substitute for walking worthy, just put living in the realm of the miraculous. Let's read it again. See? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you live in the realm of the miraculous, walking worthy of the vocation or of the calling wherewith you are called. Then the two things I'm going to be talking about today are the first two words in the next verse. Because it says with. We have to walk with lowliness, meekness, and then the rest of the verse says, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And then verse 3 goes on saying, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now that's a subject that we've also been talking a lot about, walking in the unity of the Spirit, right? Well, this is how we do it. And the first two words there, lowliness and meekness, I want to show you what those two words mean today and how we apply it. Because one of the things that Ken talked about was that we have the power of Christ, right? But we also have the character of Christ. And this is part of his character, to walk with lowliness and meekness. And so if we see how he walked, and we learn a little bit more about how to do that, then the natural progression of that will be that we will be walking in the unity of the Spirit as well. So, the first word there, lowliness. Lowliness is actually the word for meekness. And meekness comes from an Aramaic word, and I'm going to tell you the word. It's called mak. M-A-K. And this verb shows us the picture of what meekness is all about. Because if I ask you, like, what is meekness? It's one of those words that is kind of esoteric, or it's not easy to describe. You could say humble, quiet on the inside, you know, You could try to come up with a definition, right? But the reason I love studying Aramaic is because it paints pictures, and I've told you this before. Well, the picture for this word mak means to lie down flat or to lie down under. If, like the Nile, the land compared to the Nile River was under the land, and then periodically it would overflow, right? But in the Hebrew or the Aramaic way of saying it, they would say that the Nile was meek to the land because it lay under the land. I'll show you how it's used in the word. Just look at Luke chapter 3. To lie down flat or to lie down under. Luke chapter 3, verse 5. This is when I was talking about John the Baptist, how he was a voice of one crying in the wilderness. And it's a prophecy that Isaiah made. Verse 5 says, every valley shall be filled, and every hill, every mountain and hill shall be brought low. That's the word mak. You know, and when Christ comes back, the mountains are going to be shaken, and there's going to be level plain all the way through to Jerusalem. So brought low is the word mock. Okay, now look at James chapter 1, and we'll see what this idea, how it transfers to the idea of meekness. James chapter 1. Hebrews, James. James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That, I always thought that was a really funny phrase. Superfluity of naughtiness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to make to save your souls. Okay. So we're supposed to lay apart evil, right, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to make whole our souls. Well, if I want to walk worthy of the calling that God has called me with, this is the first thing that God says I need to have, is meekness. So I'm going to put... The application of this picture is that I have to lay down under something, right? So what does it say here that I'm supposed to lay down under? The implanted word, yeah. And here's the thing, see? If I plant the word in my heart, and then that's what I subject my life to, then it's going to bring life to me. It's going to make whole my soul life. So I will start to manifest the things that God has promised. See, it's really interesting to me that in this chapter in Ephesians 4 that we read at the beginning, is that God didn't say, walk worthy of the calling with all love. I mean, that wasn't the first thing that he said. I mean, we need to have love, right? And we've talked a lot about love, too, how love is the glue, love keeps us together, that's what we have to share with one another, it's the love of Christ that constrains us. But that's not what he said. He said, we need to be meek. So once I started learning this, probably was about maybe 10 years ago, I saw this stuff about meekness and this word mock. And it really changed my life because, you know, maybe you look at my life now and you think, oh, you know, she's got pretty well together and, you know, look at all this great stuff she's doing, blah, 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 right? Well, I wasn't always like that. And you see me now, but you see the result of a lot of years of implanting the word in my heart because I used to be the kind of person who would just be up and down and up and down, you know, where one day I would be like really joyous and happy and everything is wonderful and I was on cloud 9 and on top of the mountain, and then the next day I was like, oh, everything's bad. And I really had lived my life for a long time on this kind of roller coaster thing. And once I saw this stuff about meekness, then I really started endeavoring to change my thinking, and honestly have to say that I'm, well, definitely still working on it, but over the last year, and it's particularly come to where there's just not this high and low stuff, you know, where the things are really pretty medium, and when I catch myself starting to go down, especially to the low side, then I go, wait, Look at the calling that you have. Look at all the things you get to do. Look at your life. Look at what God did for you. Look at how Christ rescued you. You know, and I dump the word back in my mind again. So as we go along, you'll also see, you know, when we start talking about the next word as well, how these two words together will really solve a lot of those kind of emotional issues that we have in our life. Okay, so lie down under. Look at 1 Peter. Because we're supposed to have meekness or lie down under the engrafted word, 1 Peter 5 kind of continues to explain it in verse 6. Well, let's read verse 5 too. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with what? Humility. So that's the word meekness, or the noun that you get from this verb mak. The noun is actually pronounced makikutha. And it says, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the what?
Humble.
Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under what? The mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then guess what the next verse says? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Barney did that great teaching a few weeks ago about casting. You know, take the fishing rod, throw it out there as far as you can throw it, right? Well, the quality of humbling ourselves enables us to do that casting of the care. Because you have to lie down under something, right? Well, I could lie down under what the world says. I could take the fear in that people around me are speaking out. Those kind of things I could lie down under too, right? But if I want to be able to cast my care and have results in my life, then we have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, there was a cartoon character, a long time ago. The man who developed this character actually lived from 1928 to 1952. And the character's name was Casper Milktoast. And this was a cartoon. And I had heard this thing about Casper Milktoast, and somehow I got it mixed up with Casper the Friendly Ghost. Don't ask me why. But Casper Milktoast was used as an example, or became a household word that used for somebody who was meek. And the cartoon was actually called The Timid Soul. So people's idea of meekness is that it's timid or held back or never doing anything. Well, this character, let me describe him to you, okay? He was tall. He was very tall, like Steven. Very slender. And he always wore really nondescript clothes. He didn't want to rock the boat, right? Well, this is one cartoon. He's going up to the edge. He's on a sidewalk, and he's looking at the grass. And his hat had blown off onto the grass. But there's a sign on the grass that says, keep off the grass. So he's sitting there going like this, well, I needed a new hat anyway. Another cartoon was where he was picked to be one of a number of people who were doing an advertisement for an airplane. And they were shooting this picture where everyone was set up in chairs, but they were on the ground. So all the other couples you see in the cartoon are laughing, talking, you know, just like, this is the most wonderful thing to fly on airplane XYZ, right? He is sitting in the front row like this, like he's scared, but they're on the ground. All the cartoons that this guy did were funny because they were so outrageously, you know, examples of being timid or not wanting to ever do anything that would, you know, rock the boat. But see, that's what it is not. That's not what meekness is. To tell you the truth, meekness takes a lot of boldness to do. It takes a lot of determination to do. Let's look at a couple verses in Psalms that I think will be really, really bless you. Psalm 22. Remember that verse in verse 3 of Ephesians 4? It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, endeavoring takes work and effort. And it doesn't just come to us automatically. So the whole idea of like just being timid or, oh, yeah, I can do that, sure. You know, I believe the word, yes. I do believe the word. But you know what? In the areas where I really need help, that takes effort to make my mind go under the mighty hand of God and implant the word in my heart. If I do that, though, these are some great promises. Psalm 22, verse 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. When we were teaching the red thread the other night, there's one thing that comes out of the rock is honey. And there's another verse that talks about you will eat honey or you have gladness and be satisfied. To be meek, you will eat and be satisfied. That's an incredible promise. Flip over and look at Psalm 25. These are just a couple. If you want to have fun sometime, just study the word meek. Verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Well, I don't know about you, but I want God to teach me. I have that part of joy every day, is seeking what his will is. I mean, Rachel didn't know what I was going to teach today, and yet see that song, nevertheless, is it's not my will, but thine. And we have to seek that, though. We have to humble ourselves. If we want to be like our Lord Jesus Christ, who did do that perfectly, then we have to look to him as the example of how to do it. Keep going over to Psalm 37. These are just a couple. Verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Well, I don't know what else about you, but I would sure want to have peace in my life. But it says, it's a promise that we will have abundance of peace. So am I whetting your appetite to learn what and more about this meekness stuff? Okay, now, the second word, this helps us to understand. Back in Ephesians 4, verse 2, in the King James, it says meekness, lowliness and meekness. But the second word in Aramaic, it actually means quietness. And now what was the first word, meekness? What did I say the Aramaic word was? Mach. Okay, the second word for quietness, the Aramaic word is nak, N-A-K-H. So you have mach and nak. Nak, now, we get the word, the name Noah. His name is actually Noka, and his name means rest. And this word, nak, okay, look at Acts chapter 21, and I'll show you what the verb means. Acts 21 and verse 3. This is when Paul was on his way traveling to Rome and sailing across the seas, and he was rounding around Cyprus. Verse 3 says, now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload her burden. That phrase, unload her burden, is the word knock. So that's the picture for this word, is to unload your burden. So when you talk about quietness or rest, that's the picture you should keep in your mind. That in order to rest, it takes unloading a burden. It takes taking it in like a ship, like you would unload the ship. Now look at Hebrews chapter 4, and I'll show you an example of this word. Hebrews 4, verse 4. It's talking about God. And he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Just stop there for a second, okay? God is the example. 6 days he worked, and the seventh he rested, right? He stopped his work. If you look over at verse 11, this whole passage is talking about the rest that's going to be still in the future for the children of Israel. But verse 11 says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So it's unbelief that prevents us from unloading our burdens and not looking at the example that God has set, where he said, I did all the work in Christ, now you rest. All right? Look back at verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore. Wait a minute. I thought you just told me that I'm supposed to cease from my own works, and now you're telling me to labor. What's the deal? Well, we are to cease from our own works because everything has been accomplished for us by God in Christ Jesus. It's completely done. But the labor part, let us labor to enter into that rest, is that I have to get my mind lined up with it. And I have to unload whatever burden it is that's preventing me from going there. So it takes the two things, see, where I lay down under the implanted word, but then I also have to just make sure that all the burdens are gone, so that I can rest in what's already been done. The laboring has to do with believing what God has already done. So you see how it all fits together with walking worthy of the calling, with meekness and quietness. Now I'll show you another example, because Jesus Christ, of course, is the greatest example of this. Matthew 11. And he actually shares in this particular passage that he has these two characteristics of meekness and quietness. And he shows us that we can have them as well. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Oh, have you been there? Yeah, I have. And I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the Aramaic, it puts them the other way around. For I am restful, that's the second one from Knock, and meek in my heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So there's actually a play on words for the word rest in here, because he says, come unto me, and I will rest you. Take my yoke upon me, and learn of me, and you will find rest to your souls. Because he's restful. He was the one who was the example of being completely meek. He always did the Father's will, right? So he laid his own life under the mighty hand of God. And in due time, God did exalt him. See? And he was restful in his heart, where he wasn't straining and struggling and striving and going through this thing. It was all, nope, I'm on a path. I know what I'm doing. I know why I'm doing it. Because he had this connection with his Father constantly about what to do, where to go, what to say, how to do it. So it took all the burden off of it. Now, this idea about being yoked, you know, the word yoke has the idea of a burden. And, you know, you have a picture of two oxen being yoked together. And in fact, the law is called the yoke of bondage. So a yoke can be not such a great thing. But in this case, when he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, you just have to understand the Oriental picture of it. Because when they were training, or they have a young oxen, then they would yoke the young oxen with the older oxen and put the yoke over both of them. And then what the older oxen would do is train the young one not to buck up against the yoke, or not to try to go too fast or too slow or anything. So they, because he was yoked with the older, more trained oxen, they would learn how to plow together. And that's how he's describing this, is, see, if you put my yoke on me, you get yoked with the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll learn how to walk, and you'll learn how to unload the burdens, and you won't be going, you know, like that. It'll be more of a steady thing. So that's the picture of quietness. Look at 2 Corinthians 10. These two words are used together again. Verse 1, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. The meekness and quietness of Christ. Those are the two qualities. Who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And there's this great verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I beseech you by the meekness and the quietness that Christ has to do this. To do what? Cast down your own imaginations and every high thing that elevates itself against the knowledge of God. So let me just give you three short examples. For example, regarding forgiveness. Look at Matthew 18. We read this last week too, which is a really great record. So you have to go back and read the whole thing. But verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Because seven times was what the law said you had to forgive. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And now what that really is it's 70 by sevens, meaning you forgive someone seven times, you think you've done really pretty good. Try doing it 70 times seven times. So like 490. By sevens. See? By sevens. So you think, well, I forgave him once, I'm not going to forgive him again. No. And you think, well, I've forgiven him. That's seven. That's enough. No. When you went through all that, now start all over again and do it 70 times. That's how many times we're supposed to forgive. Now, just look at what I was talking about and apply it, all right? You be meek to the word. So I want to lay my thoughts underneath the implanted word. I have to implant that word in my heart. So if I'm having trouble with forgiveness, guess what? I got to go to the word, and I got to go look at how Jesus Christ did it. I mean, people crucified him. You think that you have something against someone? He had every reason to be just really angry. And he didn't. So if we want to know about forgiveness, we got to go look at the word, right? And really, really implant it in our hearts. It starts with something like this. So here's another example. trust. This was also a record that we read last weekend. Matthew 18, the beginning of the chapter, says, the disciples were arguing about who is the greatest, right? At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted, means changed, and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself, not like Casper Milquetoast, not timidly, but with really concerted effort, humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? Then we have to be humble. And we have to be like a child. Now just think about what a child does, see? A child puts his hand in his parents and walks across the street. A child will trust that his parents are going to provide his needs. He doesn't come to the end of the day, you know, at the end of the afternoon, and wonder whether his mother is going to make dinner for him. He just comes in the kitchen, what's for dinner? There isn't a question about whether he will get his needs met. And that was what was in the manifestations today. You know, trust me. Come to me. Because I promise to meet all your needs. That's what God says over and over and over and over again. So, what we have to do is work and do the endeavoring part, the laboring part about believing that that really is true. And no matter what, our needs will be supplied. Look at Psalm 4. This is just a great, great verse. I had to share it with you. Psalm 4. It's actually several verses. Psalm 4, verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. The Lord will hear. I mean, you can meditate on that for a really long time, about how the Lord will hear. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Is there going to be anything good that's going to happen in the future here coming up? Oh no, everything is bad. Over, 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 over. That's what people are saying, right? So in order to negate that, we have to have some of these verses right on the tip of our tongue to go, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. More than in the time of prosperity, God has put gladness in my heart. So if we're not in a time of prosperity, who cares? God has put gladness in our heart. Woo, see? Verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. What the result of quiet, of meekness and quietness is peace. Because that's the other thing that God didn't say in Ephesians chapter 4. He didn't say, walk worthy of the calling with love and peace, did he? No, he said meekness and quietness. Why? Because that yields love and peace if you do those things. The last example I wanted to talk about was another key. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 6. This is something that I began practicing because, like I said earlier about, you know, just having an emotional roller coaster at different times in my life. And Matthew chapter 6 is the whole section in there about how you know, consider the lilies of the field, they toil not. Well, isn't God going to meet your needs? Yes. Okay, I could say that with my head. I would say that with my mind. But now I have to really get my heart, I have to get that implanted in my heart, and I have to rest in it. So whatever burdens I have regarding it, I have to let go. So I'm going to show you how this works. Verse 32, I'm sorry. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. After all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God knows we have needs in our life. He knows we need food, we need clothing, we need to have revelation, all sorts of things that we need in our life. But he says, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Don't take thought for tomorrow, for the tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Okay, it doesn't mean we're not supposed to think about what we're going to do tomorrow. But what it means when it says sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof means that I have enough things to do in one day to keep my mind on track. So I don't need to be worrying about doing it tomorrow or that I didn't do it yesterday. And so the key to this is to start every day afresh. To wake up in the morning, well, let's just say go to bed at night. Father, thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for the times where I didn't trust you, the times where I wasn't forgiving, the things that I didn't believe about your word. Thank you for wiping my slate clean. Because remember, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I can go to sleep being cleansed. And then I can wake up the next morning and go, Father, please give me the strength and the wisdom and the courage and everything else I need today to walk for you. And I start the day new. See? If we do that every day where you just... Maybe you forgot in the middle of the day. So what? At the beginning of the day and at the end of the day, make a fresh start and compartmentalize it. It will be so much easier to wake up the next day to go, okay, I'm going to seek your kingdom and your righteousness. Because I don't know about you, but I can't carry the things from yesterday into today. Nor what's going to happen tomorrow. I have no idea. So, but you see what I mean? It makes it easier to be meek and to be quiet if all I'm concerned about is today. I have a fresh start today. I'll do the best I can, keep on pressing on, keep learning, keep growing, keep trusting, fleeing for refuge to the rock, right? And then when I lay down at sleep, that's what it said in Psalms, I can lay down in peace and in safety. Knowing that God will cleanse me today, and he'll cleanse me tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. What a loving God we have. There is nothing no challenge, I don't care what it is, that we can't overcome just by doing these simple principles. Now, I haven't even gotten into the long-suffering, forbearance, endeavoring from Ephesians 4, but those two... Let me show you a great promise to close here. Isaiah chapter 32. Meekness means to lie down flat or lie down under, and we need to lie down under the implanted word which is able to save our souls, and we're to lie down under the mighty hand of God because he will exalt us, and we're to be... That was mock, right? And knock is to be quiet, to be restful. Take my yoke upon me, Jesus said, and learn from me that I am restful and meek in my heart. So if we don't have this understanding, then go to the Word and learn about Jesus Christ's life and what he did, because he's the greatest example of that. And this is the promise, Isaiah 32, verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. So that's the Hebrew word that's very similar to that word knock, where it's, he says that my people shall dwell in quiet resting places. So the result of walking worthy of the calling wherewith we've been called with all meekness and quietness is that we will have a peaceable habitation. So have a wonderful week. God bless you. Love to everyone. Bye.
Thank you. You want to pray?
Yeah.